Isn't this wonderful? Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms. We do have just a little something special from the men, QLM and the men of this house, that we want to present to you in the awesome name of Jesus, just to show you that we love you and we appreciate you. So with every woman who has had the privilege and the honor of being able to give birth to children, please stand on their feet if they're still in this place. Stand on your feet and remain standing. Everyone else should be seated so we don't get confused. There's some in the room, mothers with nursing infants as well. Praise Dad! It's like, I'm here. Whoop, whoop. We thank you for your love and devotion and dedication of being a mother. Thank you for carrying us, although we're not speaking, you know, everybody's mom is not in this place, but for carrying 9 months in your womb, the life of the child that you gave birth to. Thank you for nurturing, caring, loving, being there almost like marriage, in sickness and in health. Of course, we come into this world with nothing and we leave with nothing. But one thing we can experience is the love of a mother every day of our life. The love of a mother is just so, it's powerful, because, you know, if mama gives up on you, you know you're in bad shape. Because mothers will go through a whole lot. I mean, they go through enough of the labor and the intensity of the labor, and especially if it's, you know, more than, you know, 10 hours of labor and all of that, and they carry you to full term and give birth to you, and then they put up with all of the stuff. They put up with the, as they call them, quote unquote, terrible twos, on into teenage years and the rebellion. You know, you go just like a puppy. You go from that cute little puppy to this, all of a sudden, think you know everything, teenager, and nobody can tell you anything, and they still love you through those stages. The love of a mother is strong, and it's very much appreciated. I'll put it like that. A mother's love will be there. Daddy will be gone. Daddy will say, you know, well, forget it. Not all daddies, but for the most part, dads are like, they don't have the love that a mother does. And, you know, dad will just go on and just, you know, well, they got to fend for themselves if they want to do that, if that's what they want to do. But a mother's love will, even in your rebellious state, still be there with you and be there for you. Now, a good dad will be there too, but we're not celebrating Father's Day. Celebrating Mother's Day. And so we just want to thank you. Amen. Even the little kids are saying thank you. I'm not trying to be politically correct. And I'm not trying to be offensive either. But thank you for not going to the abortion clinic and aborting us. Amen. Because you had that choice. And I don't say that to condemn anybody that's been through that, because it's a very tough thing. But you've been redeemed and you've been cleansed from that. So you've been forgiven of that, and you don't have to be, you know, feel bad or feel condemned as a result of it. But for the mothers that went full term and had the babies, thank you. Because you could have easily went to the Planned Parenthood and, you know, and just had us swept away. Sucked away. And so many do that. On average, 3,000 women every day. On average, 3,000, and that's just in the United States of America. On average, 3,000 women every day go and have their baby aborted. And that's 3,000 lives that never get a chance to see the light of day. They're innocent because they didn't have anything to do with what went on between the parents. And it's not their fault that they came at an untimely purpose or untimely time, untimely, you know, just, there's no such thing as really poor planning when a child is involved. It's like, that's a life. If you don't believe it, just look around you. Just look around you, because you could have been aborted. But look at you. You're here. Hallelujah. You're here. And see, that's what every innocent child misses out on when a woman voluntarily goes in to abort it. Consider. And if you know of those that are pregnant and they're contemplating abortion, tell them no. Give that child an opportunity to live. You never know what the future of that child is. That child didn't, you know, ask to come into the world. It was a decision that you and a guy made, because two women can't do it. Two men can't do it. But you put a man and a woman together, it happens. That's the natural course of life. This is how we know it's, here I go. This is how we know it's not right for a man to be together and a woman to be together. It's just sexual perversion. That's all it is. We don't need to hear that. We already know that. We've heard that so many times. But it's necessary, because somebody in here, or somebody watching live stream, may think the way the world thinks. They may think it's just an embryo. It's just tissue. No, it's a life. It's the formation of a life. And at any given point, it is a life. From the time of conception, where that sperm meets the egg and they unite, it's a child. Not when it comes out of the womb, which is what politicians will say. It's only a child after it comes out of the womb. No, it's a child while it's in the womb. As a matter of fact, it's a child in God's eye even before the child is formed. How do you know this? He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're made in the image and likeness of our God. We got a brain. We are of a higher intelligence than animals, even though we may conduct ourselves as animals. We're of a higher intelligence. That's why more is expected of us. God didn't make the ox. He didn't make the lamb. He didn't make the gorilla. He didn't make the whale in his image and after his likeness. He didn't make a bird. He didn't make the eagle after his image and likeness. But he made you and I after his image and likeness. Amen. We're in the image of God. And look, this is a blessed thing. I'm just so in love with this passage of scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, and to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become a Baptist. To them he gave the power to become a Catholic. To them he gave the power to become a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian. To them he gave the power to wear a label. No, to them he gave the power, the authority to become sons of God. Woo! Yeah! And anyone who identifies himself, anyone who abides in him is in Christ Jesus. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. There is a oneness established. He's the true vine. I'm one of the branches. Every branch in him that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes, that it may produce even more fruit. So if I abide in him, I owe it to him, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. I owe it to him to walk as he walked, to regulate and conduct myself as Jesus did. Not as a heathen, not as the most popular thing going on, the most popular fad, if you will, but I owe it to him to to live, to walk, to regulate my life as he did. That's for us as sons of God. That's male or female. In the realm of the spirit, we are neuter. It's in the physical that we manifest as a male or female. And the purpose of that is reproduction. God said, this is why I ordained and established marriage, that I may have a godly seed in the earth. Can't get that from two men, can't get that from two women, and you can't get it from a heathen. And that they had to catch up on that one. You can't get it being in a relationship with a heathen. No, God ordained a holy man and a holy woman to come together in holy matrimony. God ordained marriage, not Las Vegas, not City Hall, not the judge. God ordained and sanctioned marriage. Hallelujah. So, we owe it to ourselves to walk as he walked. As sons of God. Yeah. Look at Pastor Lucia. Now look at Jacob. Desiree's in the room. You see her, and you see her in him, and you see him, and you see him and her over there. They bear a likeness. She's left-handed. He's left-handed. Are you left-handed? You throw with your left. Okay, that's good enough. That's sufficient. Don't ruin it for me, Jacob. It's Mother's Day. No. But the similarities, you know, you look like her. You must be related. And when you see little Grace Lucia, you look like him. Must be related. He can't deny it. That's not my child. Sir, you want to take another look? When she was born, she looked this. I'm sorry, it's holy. I don't know why it's coming out like this, but I don't let that disturb you. When she was born, it was what I saw in the spirit. And she looked just like her. I mean, her face was, it's like, wow. And then when I saw her, it's like, man, that is little Lucia. She traveled through his loins into her. There's a resemblance, a striking resemblance. This is how it is for the sons of God. There's a striking resemblance of them and the God that they love and serve. I see the resemblance. I see in the word. I see it lived out in them. You look like your daddy. You act like your daddy. You walk like your daddy. You talk like your daddy. If we abide in him, we ought. The Greek word ought means make it personal. As a personal debt, I owe him this. This is the least I can give to him. That is to live as he lived. See, Jesus didn't even die, and nor did he give us the authority to become Christians. Oh boy, now he's blaspheming. No. The Bible clearly says that we are sons of God. It even goes on to say sons and daughters of God for those who feel they need their identity. Sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. And we should be reflecting him in everything. We should be reflecting him. It's not a put down. This is a rise up. We ought to be reflecting him.
not the world, not the latest fad in fashion. They don't dictate to us what we wear, how we conduct ourselves, what we look like. No, our God dictates to us because we represent Him. We walk as He walked. We look presentable because we're royalty. Hallelujah. We serve the King, and the King has dubbed us kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. He shares that glory with us. He shares that position with us. He was known as the Son of God, and now He's given us the authority to become the sons of God. Even those who would believe on His name, that's us. Amen. So we owe. You know how it is when the bill becomes due. It becomes due and you gotta pay, you owe. So this is my payment to Him. Not a crazy, wild, rambunctious life where I'm just satisfying and pleasing me. It's just all about satisfying me. That's not a personal, that's not the debt that we owe to live our own lives. We were living destructive lives before Him. Why would we live destructive lives after coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus? No, this is a personal debt. Oh, see, that's what that church down there that you go to, that's what they make you do down there. It's like, no, I owe this to Jesus. It's a personal thing. It's a personal debt. Oh, see, that's why you go to church all the time, because the church, they tell you, they make you come. No, I do this out of my own conscience. My Savior, it was His custom to go into the synagogue on the Sabbath, every Sabbath, not just, and you know, whenever He felt like it. It was His custom, which means it was His pattern. I owe it to Him. I'm bored. Whenever you think of something bad concerning your walk and relationship with God, look back at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and see if that's something that Jesus would say. If He would say it, you have every right to say it. But if He wouldn't say it and He wouldn't live that way, then you owe it to Him as a personal debt. I owe this to Jesus. I'm here in the house because I owe this to Jesus. I live this life of prayer and fasting because I owe this to Jesus. I share the gospel with others because I owe this to Jesus. He preached, I owe it. If He preached, I ought to preach too. Well, I ain't been ordained. Jesus ordained you. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know He says, I have ordained you? I ordain that you go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit remains. Praise God. That's a good word. Yeah. He ordained us. Hallelujah. Why don't pastor a church? Jesus had flocks. Okay, Jesus is our example, so we owe it as a personal debt. I'm just trying to give them time to give every woman, every mother, their flower. I take it every mother has. Sister Lachey, do you have a flower? You do? Well, some of these ladies are holding their flower because they really appreciate that flower, Sister Lachey. You have? Yes, she's got hers. Amen. Okay, so I've been long-winded. Sister Latika, do you have a flower? You do have children. Where is it at? Oh, see, y'all just hurt our feelings. Y'all just crushed our spirit. We want you to hold that near and dear to your heart, because it's from our heart to your heart. Just to let you know, we haven't forgotten about you, but we do honor you. Amen? Yes. And for you who are expecting again, like Sister Monica and Sister Kaya, they got babies in their wombs. Thank God that you didn't consider going to the abortion place. Hallelujah. You decided to have that child. There are many women that desire to have a child right now, and they, you know, My thing is, Lord, open their wounds and give them the child that they desire. In Jesus' name. So QLM, where you are, raise your hand. Stretch forth to the mothers that are around you as we pray over them. And those of you who are not mothers, you can stretch forth your hands to these who are mothers too and be thankful that your mother gave birth to you. Hallelujah. Right now, including those who are in the cry room, Master, we stretch forth our hands to these moms. We thank you for the love that they've shown to us over the years. We thank you for them taking care of us, nurturing us through sickness, through school. Many of us are adults now, but we still have little children that are coming up. We thank you that they're raising them up in the fear and admonition of God, that they're in the house of the Lord. And may what's in this house come upon their children. But Lord God, may they take what they receive out of this house and take it home with them. And Father, may they raise up a generation of sons and daughters who will declare your glorious works in all the earth. Father, we pray that you will bless these women for their labor, for their travail, for their giving birth, for their tender love and care. Father, we pray that you will perfect the things that concern these mothers and that you will reward them for their labor. You'll reward them, Lord God, for giving birth to children. You'll honor them, Father, even as we honor them right now. We thank you, Lord God, that they are blessed. They are blessed. They are blessed. They are blessed because you have chosen to bless them, Lord. We pray even for those that desire to have children but have not been able to conceive. We stand in agreement, Lord God, that you will open their womb. That they are married first, Lord God, but in their relationship of holy matrimony, that you give them the ability to conceive and give birth to children, Lord, that you may have, as you have ordained, a godly seed in the earth. Father, we pray for the children that these mothers have given birth to. If there are any children that are not walking with you, we call them in, Lord God. We call them out of darkness. We call them into your marvelous light. If there are any that are in a backslidden state, Lord, your word declares you are married to the backslider. Hear the cry, hear the prayer of these mothers as they lay down their lives and pray for their children to return to the Lord. If they do not know the Lord, that they will have perfect understanding and receive the Lord and serve you with gladness and simplicity of heart. That even as they grow older and they start to have children and have families, that they'll know how to raise them up. Hear every cry, hear every prayer of these mothers who are in our place, even those who may be watching live stream. Bless them, Lord. These young mothers that are coming up, gift them, Lord, to be able to raise up their children so that their children will not stray, they will not go astray, but they will walk in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake. We honor them today, and we bless them, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Those of you who have moms in this house, you make sure you thank them and take them out to dinner and do something good for them today. We now have a clip that we're going to see, and then immediately following the clip, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings and gifts of love. Amen? All right. So if we can get the offering baskets up front. And how much time do we need, Deacon Patton, for the... Ready? All right. That's what I like. Praise Jesus. Turn your attention to the screens. But we're going to dismiss and let you out in 4 minutes. I want to share this with you. I do have a word, but if you just read your bulletin as a tribute to mothers, and if you want to read further, just read Proverbs chapter 31. I know it's a very familiar passage of scripture. Everybody reads it. Many preach from it on Mother's Day, but don't receive it out of guilt and condemnation. Receive it as a word to you. It is written. It is a prophecy that was spoken to King Lemuel, who we believe to be King Solomon. And it opens up with a rebuke to him. It opens up with the rebuke about messing around with loose women, drinking alcohol, and drinking wine. And she tells him that's not for kings. So she's teaching and she's admonishing a king. And she's telling him your behavior is not good. And then she tells him what to look for in a woman. That's a woman teaching. That's not a man trying to put anything on a woman or trying to tell her how she ought to be. This is a woman speaking to a woman. And that's why I said, no one knows a woman better than another woman. Except for God, but, you know, we're just bringing this down to earthly terms. No one. This is why, you know, if you still have your mom, it'd probably be a good thing to bring your girlfriend home to your mom to see what she thinks about her. Amen. Because you get blinded by a whole lot of other stuff. You get blinded by the looks. And even in Proverbs 31, it's like charm is deceiving. That word charm means favor. And beauty fades. And these are things that you would be drawn to. Charm and beauty. Oh, he's charming. Oh, she's charming. Oh, the charisma about them. I mean, this is how many make bad choices. Because they're attracted to this charm or this charisma of the individual. They're attracted to the beauty or the handsomeness of the person, and they have not looked inside to see the heart of the individual. They went at the surface and found out beneath the surface it was rotten to the core. So charm is deceitful, and beauty passes away or fades away. Look at the heart. Sometimes people look at other than, I don't know why she would select somebody like him. There's nothing on the surface that would draw me to him. Because you deal with the surface. But this woman looked at the heart and says, he's got a heart. He loves me. He won't cheat on me. He won't abuse me. There's something good about him that's long-lasting. I ain't looking at something that's going to be deceitful, and I'm not looking at something that's going to eventually fade. You know, I never thought that I would have a weight problem till I went to Maui. First time and second time, both times, they hit me on my weight. And I'm like, man, now I understand how sensitive this thing can be. First time, we were sitting in the office at this guy arranging our activities, and he looks at me and like, how about you? You look like you know, and I wanted to slap him, but I'm a pastor, you know, and Jacob them are right there with me. Not that I would actually do it, but you know, it's one of those things like you're looking at the TV and then they show you this cloud of what this person really wants to do with that person. And so if you would have saw it, it would have said, I want to slap you right now. And this next time, which was on Wednesday, while y'all were having Bible study, we were horseback riding. Yeah, we didn't backslide, we back rode horses. Amen. But the guy arranging the activities, he did it on Tuesday, I think it was, he called the people up. And he says, well, we got one that, how much do you think you weigh? And so I told him how much I thought I weighed. And so he told them how much he thought they weighed. And they said, well, the last horse that we had for a person that size, you know, we had to put him to sleep. I don't think it was because of the person's weight. I think it was because of the age of the horse. But, I mean, this is the kind of conversation you're having. And it's like, well, man, I'm certainly glad I'm not the one that rode that horse the last time. Because whoever rode him the last time, they probably won't let them come back to the stable. Last time you rode a horse, you killed the thing. But anyways, he's talking to the lady and he says, well, he weighs this, you know, somewhere like this. And so next thing you know, he says, I'm gonna go weigh him. So they take me in the room and they weigh me.
I feel like Shamu or Yaka, Vika, you know, like a beached whale or something. I think that's what they call. And please, nobody get offended by what I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying that to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm just, you know, I can identify with anyone who feels like they have a weight problem. Some people don't think I have a weight problem, but I got a gut on me. I think Felicia called this gut out like 10, 20 years ago because she said, look at that gut. I didn't even have a gut at that time. Look at that gut. Now I got one, and I'm like, man, is that a curse or what? Why don't you say, look at how slim you're getting, Dad. Look at how slim that belly is. It's just shrinking daily. Praise God, Father. She remembers, too. Look at that gut. It wasn't even a gut at the time. So, anyways, that's enough of that. But they said, you know, we're going to weigh you. And so I was like 3 pounds less than what I said. And mind you, I had on full clothing because I told him, I said, well, you know about this. So anyways, how I got there, I said I wasn't going to be long. And I lost my place now because I'm trying to stop. What was it? Outward, inward. Ooh. Is that where it was? Y'all went way back there. I fast forwarded. Okay. Let me leave it alone. How about that? This is, huh? Let's go back to the weight thing. I've been speaking to Jenny Craig or what's the other one? Weight Watchers? Nutrisystems, that's what it is. The one that guarantees you to lose 10 pounds in a month. Yeah. You wouldn't believe that I used to be as thin as Jacob's too tall. He's tall. I would say Jacob, but he's tall. But Deacon Posada, you can relate to him because he's more closer to my height. You wouldn't believe that I used to be his size. That's why I'm like, Deacon Posada, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. That weight will find you. Amen. It will find you right where you're at. Sister Lauren be making those meals, and they have some meals that you don't know what to call it, but it's delicious. And we've shared a few of them. It may not look all that pretty, but it tastes. And so I got to stop. But stand to your feet, because I don't want to keep you any longer. I want you to have a happy Mother's Day. I was into Proverbs 31, just looking at how she was teaching her son. And it's a prophecy. It's an oracle. It's a word from God that she spoke to her son. And her son, as a tribute to her, wrote it in the book of Proverbs. That's why we believe it's Solomon. He was a king. He was a wise king. And the way she spoke to him, because Solomon had how many wives? Anybody remember? I got 670. Can I get 800? Can I get 800? I mean, it sounds almost like a raffle. 700 and how many concubines? Okay. So that's 1,000. And she rebuked him. It's not for kings to engage with these women like this. It's not for kings to drink alcohol or drink wine, because your judgment will be marred by that very thing. And in making wrong judgment, you can hurt people. Your position is to help people, to help the poor, help the homeless, help the widow. This is your position. And when you look for a wife, this is the kind of wife you look for. She was rebuking him. And he paid tribute to her by disclosing what she shared to him. It's known, it says it right there, the prophecy, the word of the Lord. So when you read it as a word from God. It will help and bless men and women. Don't just settle for just saying, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. No, say, I'm trying to live out the life of a Proverbs 31 woman. I am working on this thing. And with the help of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to reach that. Amen?
It's not a guilt or condemnation to put you down right where you are. It's like, no, hey, this is for anybody. I mean, any mother in this house who's ever fed their children a home-cooked meal, you're on the right path to being that Proverbs virtuous woman. You mean it's that easy? Yeah, because she got up early. She made it before the family. That's what probably woke up the family, the bacon. Anybody ever woke up to smelling breakfast? Mama's in the kitchen. See, our mother, she used to make gingerbread. Nobody made gingerbread like our mother. That gingerbread would fill the house. When she would cook breakfast, the bacon, she baked it. She put it in the oven on one of those pans and she baked it. And that smell would just travel out of the kitchen, down the hallway, up the stairs, around the corner, into the bedroom where I was sleeping. And it would be like, it's time to get up. Mama's cooking bacon. We're having breakfast today. She cooked grits and eggs and toast. She didn't have to say Henry Aaron when it was something like that. When it got to church, when I got to that place of being rebellious, she was Henry Aaron, and I went, no, I'm not getting out of this today. I'm getting up and going to church with her. Whole point of it is she was bringing correction into his life and then told him what to look for, told him what it's like. Now, either, as I put in the bulletin, either she is a hypocrite, meaning she's a play actor. She's telling, you know, this is how you should be, even though she ain't it. Or she was a woman who not only understood, was confident and comfortable in her role as a mother and as a wife, and then taught others, even as she led by example. Sometimes it's good to use mom as a bar in making a decision for your wife. Because some moms lead by example. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where some learn how to cook. They got in the kitchen with mom. They wash dishes. Any of y'all come up, see, especially y'all young ones, did y'all come up what you had when you had a dishwashing day, you and Isaiah? You got Monday, Isaiah got Tuesday, you got Wednesday, Isaiah got Thursday. Mom ain't in on this. Mom going to work providing for y'all. She cooked and did the dishes. You washed the dishes. You took turns. See, that's a good thing. Now, did you learn any of the cooking? A little bit. Sister Robrielle? She can cook hot dogs. Okay, we'll settle for that. No, I'm just having fun and I'm being silly and I'm 10 minutes overtime. But these are some of the things that need to be passed on from generation to generation. We're not dealing with Father's Day, but Father's Day will come. But as a mother passing on those good godly traits, she's not moved by a career. Now, this woman, she not only dealt outside her house, but inside her house. But what's most valuable and the prize achievement, if you will, is the effect and impact that she has on her home. You know, I looked at the pictures as they came up, and I saw Sister Sharon with Jenny. And Jenny saved. And then I saw it with The Rock, Brother Joshua, and Grandma, and Mom. And I'm like, man, that's powerful right there. That's powerful right there. Because he's serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. He has actually validated what his mom has been believing all of these years. And I know it's got to do her good to see her son over here serving the Lord and right there helping out his man of God. Oh. Whew, praise God. I got to let you go. I got to let you go. So grab the hand of the person next to you. Shake it. Tell them I see you Wednesday. Father, bless your sons and daughters as they leave this house today. We thank you for today and all that you've done. We thank you again for the mothers that are in this house today and those who may be watching live stream. We bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Till we come together again in the name of the Lord, be blessed and be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. All right. Grace to you. Leave before I start up again, please. Go home. I do have to share this with you, though. This was just handed to me just recently, and I know. It's from Brother Deontay. It's a praise report. He says, I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I did share with my brothers Tuesday night when I was walking. A truck pulled over to the other side of the road and opened fire at me and drove off fast. I had praised God that I didn't get hit by any crossfire. I'm here today standing and walking and talking and praising God. Now, I have a question for you. Did you see the gun? You saw the truck. Did you see? Were they aiming at your way? In your direction. Did you see the angel that stood between you and the bullets? See, that's the thing. Not that you had to see him, but I need you to acknowledge that an angel stood before you, between you and those bullets that were fired your way and kept you for the glory of God. That's God's divine protection surrounding you as a wall of fire and a hedge of protection. Glory to God. So I wanted to share that with you all. I wasn't here Tuesday, and they didn't send me a text to tell me. I didn't get updated about much. We had a blessed time. You probably wouldn't have got a page back anyways. All right. Goodbye. Y'all have a blessed day. Love you all very dearly. Amen. Amen. You're very welcome. I pray that everybody received.